A lot of storms in life. We talk about that. We said storms are a definite thing. They're going to happen. In fact, we are either just now coming out of one, or we're going into one, or we can sure look back and remember a lot of them. But or we could be being delivered through the end of a storm. But what we know is there's going to be storms in life. Jesus even said so. Sermon on the Mount, he said, those who hear these words of mine and do them are like a wise man who builds his house on a rock. When the storms come, when the waters rise, that house won't wash away because it's founded on the rock. Now, in the same, the converse of that is true. Those who hear his words and don't do what he says are like those, like the foolish man who built his house on sand. What happens if you build your house on a sandbar alongside the river? Not a good place to have it. When the storms come, the water's going to rise, and it's going to beat against that house, and it's going to wash it away, right? And so we don't want to be like that foolish man. We want to be like the wise man. And so what we know is there's going to be storms. He didn't say if. He said when. And we saw in the book of Mark, we're up in chapter 6 now, up to verse 53, but we saw where earlier in Mark, there was a storm. Jesus was asleep in the back of the boat. They got scared. All the disciples said, woke him up and said, are you just going to let us die? What are you doing sleeping? So Jesus stood up and he calmed the storm. He can calm the storm, guys. He can calm those storms right when we're right in the middle of them. He doesn't always calm the storms right in the middle of them. Some of them he takes us through. Some of them, like this last one that we just read about last week in Mark chapter 6, he actually let them struggle for a while. He left them alone in the boat, struggling. And you might say, well, for a little while, but guys, he sent them out, and it was like probably around 3 in the morning when he finally came down to join them in their struggle. But what was interesting about him joining them in their struggle is it says he had just planned to pass right on by. He was walking on the water. While the storm's raging, they're in the boat, they're rowing as hard as they can, and they can't get where they need to go. Have you ever felt that way before? Then Jesus comes walking on the water, and it says that he aimed to just pass them on by, but they cried out to him. And that's what we talked about before, last week, was crying out to God during those storms. We need to cry out to Jesus. We need to ask him to be part of our life. We need to ask him for help. We need to be humble enough to admit we can't do this on our own. And then he came over, he got in the boat, and he immediately talked with them and said, be of good cheer, it is I, and do not be afraid. And then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased, and they were greatly amazed at themselves beyond measure. That's verse 51. And marveled, for they had not understood about the loaves because their hearts were hardened. We talked about how God's doing miracles around us all the time. And we got to be careful that we don't allow hardness to get in our hearts to where we don't recognize God whenever he's doing what he's doing. Because, see, he did those miracles before so that we will trust him in the future in the next storm. He wants us to remember the last time he delivered us, the last thing he did in our lives, so that we'll know for sure he's going to be there the next time. Okay? And so then as we continue on in this, it kind of catches us all up on the same page for those who weren't here last week. Let's jump in on verse 53. Let's all stand for the reading of God's word today. If you're able, if you can't, that's fine. There's no judgment. I like to stand, first of all, to show respect for God's word. I think that's good. But also so we personalize it. I think when we stand and read it and we're looking at it together, we're all saying, this is for me today. This has significance in my life. So verse 53, when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and anchored there. And when they had come out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him, ran through the whole surrounding region and began to carry about on beds those who were sick, and wherever they heard he was. Wherever he entered into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched him were made well. Let's pray. Dear God, we look at this and we can just imagine what it must have been like to be there that day. Lord, I can hear the crowds in my mind, in my heart, I can imagine what it must have been like to see these people being healed. Oh, Lord, how awesome that is. But I want us to understand, this wasn't just the Jesus of 2,000 years ago. This is the Jesus of today. You are still the same Jesus. You are still all powerful. And so we give you glory today. And we look to you and ask you to help us to believe, to trust in faith that you still are the way, the truth, and the life. Help us to remember no one comes to the Father except through you. You are still Jesus' healer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, guys, you can have a seat. Let's break this down just a little bit here real quick and just take a look. And the first point I want to think about, just the title, is Close Enough for One Touch. Guys, if you can get close enough to Jesus for that one touch, whether he touched you, or even if you could just touch the hem of his garment, how amazing is that? That's our Jesus. I want you to know he wants to heal our problems. Now we got to get that into perspective in our minds. Sometimes we might misunderstand what our real problem is. Do I get an amen on that one? Sometimes I can think, okay, this difficulty in my life, that's the problem. But guys, we may have a lot bigger problem than what we realize that God's really working on, and that has something to do with it, something that's in our heart, right? Sin ultimately is the biggest problem. Sin is what separates us from God, and I can tell you, God is relentless about working on sin in our lives. I can remember as God was drawing me to himself, I tell you, I was resisting, and it seemed like everything I did physically in life was a struggle. I mean, everything I would try to work on, it just seemed like it would break. Everything I tried to do, it seemed like we just struggled along, and finally one day I just looked up to heaven because I knew God was real. I just wasn't following. I wasn't willing to surrender my heart to him yet. And I looked up to heaven and I said, why are you doing this to me? And I'm going to tell you, it was almost like God answered me. In my heart, he let me know, it's because I want your heart. Are you willing to surrender? And I'm going to tell you, I was stubborn. I went, I don't know how much longer, but it was probably close to a year longer, struggling like that, saying, I think I could do this on my own. Boy, hard will, strong-willed people we can be sometimes. I know that's me. But I can tell you, if God ever brings that strong-willed person over fully and brings us to a place of surrender, and let me tell you, he knows how to do it. He was not going to allow me to have peace until I gave him my life. Whenever I finally surrendered my life, I'm going to tell you, I experienced such peace. And some of it was so instant. It was like all my problems didn't necessarily go away. A lot of them were still there, but I can tell you, I had Jesus with me to get through those problems. And so here's the thing, guys. We're all going to have those storms. We'll go to that next slide. But here's the deal. Jesus will get you to the other side of that. He is going to be with you. He will never leave you or forsake you as long as you're his. And you know what? These disciples were his. And when we look at verse 53, that seems like it's just this descriptive verse, you know, when they crossed over. No. Let's say it like this. When they had crossed over, when they got to the other side, when Jesus helped them through the storm, when Jesus cured the problem so they could make it to the other side, Jesus is not going to leave us. He is going to get us through. Man, whenever I was reading this, it was like, when, not if, when. And he will be with you too. I'm telling you, Jesus will not leave you. I give that to you as an absolute guarantee. Now the question is, will we leave him? If you're feeling a separation from God, that ain't because God left you. Now, here's some really good news. If you were ever his, he's never going to let go of you. And so the good news is almost kind of like the bad news too. So if you're out of sorts with God and you're His child, He is going to make you so miserable. But He does it out of faithfulness. And in His kindness, He'll continue to draw you. But I can tell you, the most miserable people you'll find on planet Earth are children of God who are out of step with God and refusing Him to be the Lord of their lives. So I would say just today, surrender to Jesus. He will never leave you or forsake you. He will never walk off and leave you in the storm and say, I'm not going to help you. He will never say, you're on your own. In fact, we see He walked on the water to get to His disciples and help them. And He'll walk on the water to get to you and help you. And He will get you through the storm. So don't give up. Don't give in. Don't be in despair. No, He is going to help you. The second thing that I find in this is, as we move on in and kind of break down verse 54, is we must recognize the only source for our healing. Guys, here's the deal. The world's so full of all these different ideas. We make Jesus out to be one of the ways in the world. I want you to know Jesus is the way. He is the only way. He is the only way for our sin problem to be healed. He is the only way. I'm going to tell you guys, if even in a physical healing, if Jesus ain't in on it, it ain't going to happen. Only Jesus can, even through doctors or however kind of therapies you may be getting or whatever, Jesus is and has to be the only true source of our healing. You want to see a nation healed? I'll tell you, the only way you'll ever see this nation healed is through Jesus. When we turn to Jesus, and whenever this starts in the church is really praying for healing of this nation, and people begin to turn to Jesus, you're going to see a nation healed. I believe it. Guys, Jesus, we got to recognize He's the only source for our healing. Not just a way, not just one of the ways, but He is the way. And when they came out of the boat, I'm going to tell you, people immediately recognized Him. They said, He's the healer. He's the healer. They didn't say He's one of the healers. They didn't say, well, we'll go check out some other ways and maybe we'll come back and see if Jesus is there later. No, they said, they recognized He's the healer. And look at what they did next. They ran through the whole surrounding region. They ran. They didn't walk. They didn't wait. They didn't come back later. Guys, they recognized healer was in their presence, and I'm going to tell you something. They ran everywhere they could find and began to carry about on beds those who were sick to wherever they heard He was. Guys, let us run. Not walk. Let us run. Let us understand the urgency of the day to bring others to Him while He is available. You know, there's going to come a day. There's going to come a day, guys, that in an individual's life, there's going to come a day when you don't get any more second chances. In society's life, there's going to come a day when the society don't get any more second chances. There's going to come a day whenever Jesus literally comes back and there's got to be no more second chances. There's going to be a day whenever I draw my last breath, there's no more second chances. I'm going to stand before Jesus. And where I am with Jesus is where I'm going to be for all of eternity. And I can tell you, I do not know when that day is. It could be today. So we better not put off what we need to do today. And I'll tell you, when we look out at other people and we got that lost loved one and that individual that lives down the street that we really care about and that other one over here that really could use a hand and it might bring them, help them come closer to Jesus, guys, don't put it off. You don't know if you'll get another opportunity. You need to run. You need to go now. You need to act immediately on these situations. There's that person that maybe you need to reconcile with. Do it now. There's that person that you need to tell them you're sorry, or you need to have that conversation with them and tell them that they hurt you. Do it now. Don't put it off. There's that organization that you've really been wanting to support that's in another country so they can get Bibles to an unreached people. Don't put it off. If you have it and it's on your heart, do it now. Let's do it now. Let's run. Let's get everybody we can. And let's bring them to Jesus while we can. Bring them to Jesus. And then, guys, along with bringing them to Jesus, that next slide, I'm going to tell you, don't be too proud. Don't be too proud. Be willing to plead with Jesus. Be willing to beg Jesus to heal them. Guys, I know, you know, we live in a weird culture these days where people are afraid that begging God seems like beneath us or something. But I'm going to tell you guys, whenever it talks about supplication, do you know what a synonym for supplication is? It's literally beg. A synonym for supplication. Whenever you read about supplication in the Bible, prayer and supplicate, it's like, I'm a beggar, but I know the source, and so I'm going to go and I'm going to ask Him to heal that individual because He's their only hope. And if you see, guys, in this, I think really this is like a visual image or an example of how every Christian should live their lives. We know about Jesus. We know He's the way. We know He's the only way. And so whenever we see an opportunity, we need to run and get the lame person, the sick person, the individual that's not healed of their sin yet. Bring them to Jesus. And man, we need to pray for them. And we need to pray for God to do things in their life that only He can do. And in His sovereignty, I can tell you, He can do it. But He wants us to ask. Look at what they did. Wherever He entered into villages, cities, or in the country, that pretty well covers it all. Villages, cities, or country. No matter where He was. This is what they did. They laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged Him that they might just touch the hem of His garment. And as many, now here's the deal, and as many as touched Him were made well. Okay, so that brings us to a whole other thought as well. He's not going to do this like remote control. We really have to make ourselves available. And for these individuals who were made available, for these individuals who reached out, to these individuals they were healed. And every great movement that you see throughout the Scripture, you will notice, it was the people who showed up that received the greatest blessing. So let's encourage the people to come near Jesus. Let's encourage the people to reach out to Jesus. We can't make them. We can't force them. We can't even do it for them. But we can sure help them. And in the process of helping them, we can sure pray for them. We can sure implore God. That word implore is another word for beg. And just, guys, make it a portion of your life, a priority, to pray for the lost people in your life. To pray for those who are sick. To pray for those who are separated from God. Let's beg Jesus to heal. And then what I really want us to leave this thought with today, or this sermon, the last thought, one touch can heal our sickness of sin. Guys, I found this one hard to believe. I thought it's got to be like one touch and then something else added to it. It's got to be one touch and then, man, then I got to do my list. My 10 things or 12 things or check that. No. One touch made me well. One touch of Jesus that night. One touch of reaching out to Him one time. And I asked Him to come into my life and be the Lord of my life. And I'm going to tell you, He has changed my life forever. He has changed the destination of my soul. And yes, He's changing me one day at a time. But I'm going to tell you, He did not require me to get it all together before He would save me. He required me to come to Him and to surrender myself to Him. And that's all. One touch. And as many, not some of them, as many as touched Him were made well. Guys, I'm going to tell you, you can make this a 100% guarantee. Jesus said, if anyone comes to me, I will not turn him away or cast him away. That is a promise from Jesus himself. Please, let's do exactly what they did. When they saw Jesus, when they knew Jesus, they ran and they got as many people as they could to come and touch him. Just have that moment with him. Have that experience with him. Let him change their hearts. Let him change their eternity. Let us pray. Dear God, I pour out my heart to you today, Lord, and I beg of you, if there's anybody in this place that needs to come and touch the hem of your garment and be saved, Lord, I know that's figurative, the hem of the garment, but it is absolutely imperative that they surrender and submit themselves to you, Lord. Just one touch. I know that it ain't going to happen unless you're drawing their heart, but if you're drawing their heart, let them respond to your call today by just submitting to you, admitting that they're a sinner, admitting that sin has offended you, that sin will cause them to have to spend an eternity in hell unless it's covered by the blood of Jesus. Let them surrender to you today, believing that you died on the cross for them, and that you rose again on the third day. Let us believe in the resurrection. And then, Lord, let us submit ourselves to you as our Lord. And God, that you would be our Lord. That means King. One directing my life. And then, secondly, Lord, I pray for all of us in this place that we will just point others to Jesus. That we would leave no stone unturned. That we won't just walk. We won't just take our time. We don't know how much time we have. That we would reach out to every individual that we get an opportunity to with the love of Jesus. What does that look like? It isn't beating them over the head with the Bible, that's for sure. But it is loving them in the name of the Lord. And telling them the truth about the situation. All of us are lost before we surrender to you. And Lord, to be lost is the worst condition that we could ever find ourselves when we die. So let us be found, let us be saved in Christ. And Lord, let us bring others that they might just touch you. You're going to take care of the rest. You just want us to help bring them there. In Jesus' name, amen.